scores! Gilmore scores! With 1:03 left.
Off the glass to left corner to Aguila. Aguila to the left circle. Passing to Yale. A shot saved. Made by Aguila. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now. On Sportsnet 960 The Fan, here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Okay, let's get things going. It is Monday, September 23rd. Welcome to the 2024 preseason, and welcome to this hour of Flames Talk. Steinberg and Wes along with you, and for the first time this year, on a game day from the Scotiabank Saddle Dome and the Hot Stove Lounge. Hello, Wes. How are we doing?
I'm good, buddy. And we have averted any sort of catastrophe. You found the remote control. We're ready for a season.
It was under some paper.
Yeah, bring it on. Bring it on. Yeah,
we found it. We're good to go. And we are already into preseason game number 2 and 3 for the 2024 exhibition schedule. Sunday night in Seattle, Flames open up their preseason with a 6-1 win over the Seattle Kraken in a real nice way to get things going for the 2024 preseason. And just from a general standpoint, by the way, Flames Talk, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts.
I thought that might be my job this season. No?
No.
Okay.
Look, I can do one thing well, and that is rattle that off without blinking an eye.
You know, we're going to talk a lot about roles this season, and I'm just looking to see where I fit in.
That's, you know what? We'll work on it.
Is there opportunity here for me, would you say?
I think so.
Okay.
I think there's competition anyway. Speaking of which, later this hour, Devin Cooley's going to sit down with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge, one of the three goaltenders vying for NHL time. He was not in action Sunday night in Seattle. Dustin Wolf and Connor Murphy were the two goaltenders who traveled to Seattle, but Dustin Wolf got the entire game. A 6-1 win for a pretty, I don't want to say thin, but a very, like, that lineup was all about bubble players. That lineup was all about guys fighting for NHL jobs. I mean, outside of Kevin Rooney and Jake Bean, there were not, Braden Pahl maybe, there were not a lot of guys that were, yeah, surefire NHLers or guys that were and have been NHL regulars, and yet they went out there, they set the tone, they were physical. I think that they caught Seattle off guard, they were opportunistic, and they walked away with a 6-1 win. There was a lot to like, generally, from that preseason opener. No, knowing that it's preseason game number one, nobody here is going to be getting too excited over one exhibition game.
Yeah, and there's no reason to get too excited over the result of one exhibition game. But, you know, something I posted last night on social media, and I really believe is it was one of those nights that can be very encouraging for Flames fans because of who stood out.
Yeah.
Right? And yeah, there were guys who stood out who maybe aren't part of the long-term plan, right? Dryden Hunt had a great game, and that's not a guy that you're rebuilding around. Or Clark Bishop, for example. But, you know, the number of guys in their early 20s, whether it was, you know, a goal and a couple of assists, including one mind bender from Matt Coronato, whether it was a really strong performance, I thought, from Artem Grushnikov on the blue line, whether it was Hunter Brustevich sort of looking more and more comfortable right in front of our eyes as the evening progressed, whether it was a nearly flawless performance from Dustin Wolf, who didn't have to steal that game but had to provide some saves at big times to make sure that a veteran-laden team didn't start running downhill. The guys that I kept watching and thinking, man, hey, this is a good performance. This is a promising sign. So many of those were the guys they're building around. And I think for that reason, you know, if you were a Flames fan who closed your laptop or turned off your iPad last night with a big smile on your face, I get it. You know, a lot of the kids that are prompting the most excitement in this city took an opportunity to really make a positive first impression, and for a lot of them, they did that last night.
Well, that was my That was my big message on Sunday's postgame Flames talk was, you know, the result is what it is. You know, Seattle, they had a more veteran lineup, but it was also their first game. And you know, whatever, the 6-1 win is what it is. But the positive thing and the thing that you take away most is the fact that, yeah, it was guys that you're hoping to be a part of the future that led the way, starting with Coronado and Brustevich, and you mentioned Grushnikov, Wolf in net. Like, there were just so many of the players that Flames fans want to be excited about and the players that Flames fans want to see be the big parts of this team's future that led the way. And so that's why I think you come away from preseason game number one feeling good, knowing that it's preseason game number one, and it's only going to ramp up and get more difficult, and the pace is only going to get closer to regular season pace as the preseason goes on, and that's going to be more of a opportunity to evaluate from Coronado to Brustevich and more. So yeah, it was a real nice start and something that they can build on in this split squad game they play against Edmonton on Monday, one here at the Dome and one in Edmonton. And again, a lot of those guys that we're talking about are in action in both these games as well.
Yeah, and you know, let's use an example of a guy who I didn't list, but I know you felt good about his game last night. I certainly noticed some standout moments, and that's Sam Hontzek. And what we saw with Sam Hontzek, and understandably so, as an 18-year-old last year, was like, that was a guy who was overwhelmed in the first couple of preseason games he had. And I think he kept hoping from an organizational standpoint that, okay, well, maybe this one goes a little bit better for him. He can start to build his confidence. Mm-hmm. And again, these things are to be expected with a lot of 18-year-old players, but you keep hoping. And I know if you're sitting in Craig Conroy's seat, you keep hoping, like, okay, what, we just want these young guys to have those sort of performances that build their confidence, that make them feel a little more settled, make them feel a little bit more comfortable. I think, like, it doesn't matter what you and I think of what we saw last night. I think so many of the guys who got on that plane for the ride home back to Calgary thought, geez, I put a pretty good foot forward.
Yep.
And that in itself is encouraging. You know, if Matvei Gridin, for example, who will eventually be going back to the QMJHL, if he took some
with
lessons.
With a new team.
Yes. Shewinigan, correct?
Correct.
If he took some lessons from last night, if he took some confidence that, okay, you know, not many guys go from playing in the USHL to their next outing happens to be an NHL preseason game. But if he took some confidence from that, certainly, you know, Hunter Brustevich is confident. Zane Parekh watched one of his shots go past an NHL goalie and just happened to hit the post. Matt Coronado downplayed one of the best backhand saucer.
Yeah, I tried to get it out of him today.
Yeah,
I tried.
I saw him there.
It was nice to connect.
Hey, good on him. Like, if these young players take that, if, you know, we remember Dustin Wolf got, I don't want to say rocked in his first preseason game last year, but it went poorly.
Yeah.
Right? And it didn't maybe alter his confidence, but it altered his confidence in whether he still had a chance to make the hockey team. Like, these guys who are key to your future, whether that's Wolf and Coronado sooner than later, whether that's maybe a year or two down the road, they came home from Seattle feeling good about themselves.
And that's
all that matters. I don't care what the score was. I don't care who was in Seattle's lineup, blah, blah, blah. It'll be the same thing tonight, right? You want your young guys especially to feel good about themselves, and you want your old guys to not get hurt.
Let's go through some of those individuals. So just talking with a few members of the Flames as the game was going on Sunday and after the game, I know, you know, some of the players that really stood out, Brustevich for sure, Hontzek, Coronado, Wolf, those were four guys that really stood out unanimously to a few people I talked to. Let's maybe start with Coronado, because you're right. That backhand pass to set up Jeremy Poirier just past the midway mark of the second period was next level. Didn't know that, like, again, I used this comparison on Sunday night. that looked like a Leon Draisaitl backhand. That you don't see very many dudes put backhand sauce on tape and then see the other guy one time and into the net quite like that.
It was perfect.
It was picture perfect.
Yeah.
It was a laser beam off the backhand and right onto Jeremy Poirier's stick, and Poirier made no mistake on it. Even the pass that he made on the 5-1 goal, or the 6-1 goal to Firk, rather, was a real nice touch pass. Plus, he scored the goal. I thought Coronado was the best player on the ice for either team. I thought he was dynamic from the start. The first period, he let a shot go that missed by that much, and you're like, that's what you want to see more of. We talked last week about the message to Anthony Mantha, right, about how the coaching staff wants Mantha to just focus on a shooting mentality. And while upwards of 300 shots this season is probably unrealistic, putting that type of target in front of him is a good way to get him thinking about shoot first. And I think you want to see that from Coronado as well, because his shot is such a weapon. And last night, he did. 5 shots, 6 attempts, 4 scoring chances, 2 high dangers, had the goal and 3 points. Like, that's the type of game that you needed to see from Coronado to open the preseason. And honestly, it was a year ago that we came out of preseason game number 1, split squad game against Vancouver, that mm-hmm. they won 10-0.
Yeah.
Was it 10-0 or 10-1? I don't remember.
10-0.
It was 10,
yeah.
Right? And Matt Coronado was the story coming out of that game as well, and he parlayed that into a great camp and made the team out of camp. Well, a year later, he doesn't get a hat trick, and it wasn't a 10-0 win, but he, again, was one of the stories, and in my eyes, the best player on the ice, and that's a real nice positive year over year from Coronado.
Yeah, absolutely, and you and I have talked, right, about I think the benefit that it will be to Matt Coronado, that he saw how much harder it is to produce in the regular season than the preseason a year ago, and I don't think after that hat trick he thought it was going to come easy. But you know, a lot the talk was, oh geez, you know, could he score 20, could he score 25? Like, it, the expectations rocketed out of control after that.
And yeah,
you know, I think it's valuable that Matt Coronado not only knows now how challenging it is to produce at the NHL level, but kind of knows how you have to. I think those are lessons, despite not showing up on his stat line, that he probably took. I'll tell you too, and I was just flipping through my notes. I wish I wrote down who the player was, but I guess I didn't. There was a moment that there was essentially a breakdown in the offensive zone for the Flames, and someone on the Kraken started racing away with the puck, and it looked like if they could turn the burners on, they were going to have a breakaway. And Matt Coronado just matched them stride for stride through the neutral zone, and it just turned into nothing. Like, if he had lost a step or two on that guy, suddenly you're talking about Dustin Wolf probably having to face at least a partial breakaway. And Matt Coronado just matched him stride for stride, and it turned into one of those nothing plays. And you like to see not only the hustle, but I thought, in a very small sample size, there was proof of how hard he's worked on his skating too, and,
yep.
And that's encouraging.
He talked about that earlier today on Monday about how he worked, and I remember when he joined us at Woodridge Ford a few weeks ago, he talked about how much work he's done with Danielle Fujita, who, it's awesome to hear more and more guys talk about how much better they've gotten at skating, and then the next sentence is how they work so hard with DF, and she just continues to make guys better in that all-important area, and Matt talked about that. He spent a lot of time in Calgary this summer, spent a lot of time last season with Danielle, and now he returns to camp and looks good, and looks like he very well is ready to do what Ryan Huska has kind of laid the gauntlet down for him. Hey, go take somebody's job. And at least on one night, he's been able to do that. He's going to have more opportunities in the preseason as time goes on. In fact, he'll be part of the road game Monday night in Edmonton, playing on a line with Sam Hanzek and Justin Kirkland, at least to start that game, is what it looked like at morning skate. So another opportunity for him against another good lineup on the road. Coronado with a big chance in his second preseason game as well.
Yeah, and this is what we've seen. This is a message I think that's been delivered pretty clearly by Ryan Huska, is both Coronado and Jacob Pelche have, you know, they can see based on the line combination so far in camp, that they might be on the outside looking in for one of those jobs they want. And that's not an accident. That's the head coach saying, show me. You gotta show me. And I thought both of them played solid games last night, but Matt Coronato certainly was one of those guys who sort of had an above and beyond type night. He was one of the standouts. I wouldn't argue with your assessment that he was probably the best player on the ice last night, and that's a really important way for Coronato to start this camp.
I thought that Sam Hanzek played well in the second game at Young Stars, but in that game on Sunday night in Seattle, 2 assists, and he just looked like he popped more than at any point he's popped for me as a member of the Flames, in that he was dangerous. He used his speed. He used his strength. Like, he drove the net, all that type of stuff. And I thought that was really encouraging to see, just to see how willing he was to take pucks to more difficult areas.
Yeah.
You could tell that he's worked on his skating as well and added some speed to his game. So those were real positive things to see in Hanzek's game. I talked to a couple people earlier this morning before morning skating. Like, geez, that's the best I've ever seen him in a Flames jersey, at preseason, Young Stars, whatever. So I know that there were definitely some Flames eyeballs that were impressed with Hanzek as well.
Yeah, the word for me with Sam Hanzek is assertiveness. You know, when there's a little bit of assertiveness in his game, it goes a long way. And I saw a lot of that last night. You know, I saw a few shifts where I didn't think there was that, and that's a player who can too easily fade into the background. That would be the knock on Sam Hanzek up to this point, is that you can see a shift and then can kind of fade into the background, and then you see some assertiveness and then he maybe fades into the background. And that was the sort of night that they'll sit down with Sam Hanzek and say, more shifts like this. Like, this is what we need them all to look like. And I think you mentioned those conversations you had. I certainly heard similar things from people today. I think a big part of that is there was way more assertiveness in his overall game last night than we've seen in the past.
On the back, I thought Pristevich really, really good.
Let's hit one more forward.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Not just the two goals. I
like that he goes to the front of the net.
Yeah,
I
remain fascinated by Adam Klapka. I just don't see a path to him starting this season in the NHL, but a guy who he's continues to learn how to use his size, and the fact that you just can't move him to his advantage. And I thought last night was a good step for him.
Both his goals were scored less than a foot from the front of the net. Like, that's what you want to see from that guy, right?
Yeah. He is very good at, and I've heard this from his Wranglers teammates, particularly on the power play. He's really good about being one of those guys who, like, he's the biggest dude out there, and it looks like he's just going to go park at the edge of the crease, and then in one quick move, he's suddenly backdoor. And we saw a goal like that last night.
Yep.
He was just sort of beelining to the crease as if he was just going to, be a poor window, and then next thing you know, backdoor tapping, and it has a knack for that. I don't know how it all turns out long term. I don't know if this is a guy who factors in when the Flames expect to have really put together a team they believe can be a tough out and can win playoff games and ultimately win playoff series.
Yep.
But I thought last night was a good step.
I know you really like Krishnikov on the back. I know you also liked really like Pristevich. I thought Pahal was a wrecking ball out there. I mean, again, there's three bubble names for you right there. Pahal probably the closest guy to being on the NHL roster as of right now, but all three of those guys on the back, really impressive. I know the coaching staff was really impressed with Pristevich, a couple of assists for him. Krishnikov, the fight, and, he... he may not handle the puck at the, like, it kind of at times feels like the puck's a little bit of a grenade on his stick.
Mm-hmm.
But away from the puck, I really am impressed with the angles and the awareness and the way that he is able to play things. Like, he's not going to be a guy that you're going to count on for the first pass or to carry the puck, you know, dangerously out of the zone. But I thought Krushnikov looked good.
Yeah.
I thought that was a real – and when they put him and Brustevich together, I think it really – because it didn't start that way. I thought it really brought out the best in both of them too.
Yeah, and I think Krushnikov is going to be a guy that you're going to start to hear, you know, in the AHL and eventually, like, I believe this guy's going to have a long career in the NHL. I think you're going to hear him talked about as a guy that other defensemen really like playing with. I think you're going to hear him talked about as a guy who really frees up other defensemen to maybe freelance a little bit. Like, this is as stay-at-home of a defenseman as you see developing in 2024. Like, this is a guy who might play 82 games and put up 10 points 1 year. Maybe. He might put up 7, right? This is going to be a guy who makes his money in his own zone, but he gets that part of it. He knows what he is. He brings some physicality. You mentioned the fight, you know, willing to stick up for a teammate. You know, he's never going to be a thumper, but there's just a real kind of calm steadiness to his game that I think future partners can benefit from. And that's important because what you have a lot of in this pipeline are defensemen who've put up numbers,
yeah,
right? Who've proven. Dynamic was the word that Ryan Huska used this morning to describe Brustevich and Zane Parekh. Yeah, those guys are offensively dynamic, and we're going to sit here more often than not and talk about the guys who scored 90 points in junior. Those are the prized prospects, and they should be. But good organizations find a way to develop guys like Krushnikov as well.
Yep.
And I do think we're going to look back at that trade knowing that Chris Tanev's time in Calgary was coming to an end and say, you know, they picked up a pretty good prospect there.
Let's, before we hit the text line, let's finish on Dustin Wolf. We're going to hear from Devin Cooley shortly this hour here on Flames Talk. It's Pat and Wes as we look back at preseason game number one, a 6-1 Flames win on the road in Seattle. I just thought it was a real nice, I've used the term gauntlet thrown down once already. I just thought that's exactly what Dustin Wolf did. He knows he's in a three-way battle. Mm-hmm. He knows that he's fighting for playing time. So in his first preseason opportunity, he said, okay, hit me. This is what I essentially was in line for a shutout, the one giveaway, that the Parekh giveaway in the corner that led to the one goal. But he ends up with 32 on 33. He was extremely composed. I thought positionally he was on it. And what always makes, and this is true of most goalies, but for Wolf especially, when that guy's making everything look routine, mm-hmm, and as if he knew exactly what was happening before the shooter did, it's when you know he's really on, and that's exactly what we saw in Seattle. He was just, everything looked like, oh, I just knew it was coming there. And that's what makes him such a good goalie. You hear Jordan Sigalette talk about Dustin Wolf. You hear Jason LaBarbera talk about Dustin Wolf. The first thing they always say, there's two things, his ridiculous athleticism and his high hockey IQ and how high level he reads the game and anticipates the game. And I thought that was, especially that, was very much on display. So, hey, Dustin Wolf said, okay, this is my first game against some pretty good NHL shooters, and it's kind of a, okay, Dan Vladar, Devin Cooley, now see what you've got. That was a great start for Dustin.
Yeah, I'm wrong so often on the radio that I'll just add to it by talking about when I'm wrong by text message. But I sent you a note last night toward the end of the second and said, you know what, I'd take Wolf out after 40. And the reason I said that is he'd faced a decent amount of rubber, and I just thought this would be a perfect note for him to end on tonight. You know, perfect through 40
Coming
minutes.
With the 40-minute shutout.
Really strong, really steady, just did exactly what you wanted. And when I wasn't saying take him out because I didn't think he could go the distance, but I was suggesting they might take him out just to ensure that night finished as just a huge positive. Now, Obviously, the plan was for him to go 60. He continued through and finished with both a stat line and a performance you can be really happy with. But that's where my head was at after 40. And I only bring that up to say, like, I don't think that could have gone much better. Yeah. I don't think, and, you know, I just finished my long soliloquy at the start of this segment on the importance of the young guys and the future pieces, just feeling really good about how last night went. I'm not sure Dustin Wolf, I get how, he's a perfectionist, and he'll certainly have a few ideas for how it could have gone better beyond just the one goal that got past him. But, yeah, from my vantage point, that was one of those nights that you just look at and say, perfect.
Yep.
What a perfect way for Dustin Wolf to start what is certainly the most important training camp and season of his career to date.
Yep. Great start for him, and we'll see him you'd think once or twice more in the preseason. That he won't play in either of the games on Monday, which means there'll be five games left in the preseason. Maybe you go 2-2-1, something like that. Maybe some splits in there as well. But we'll see Dustin Wolf plenty more in the preseason before it all wraps up. But that was a really nice start for Dustin. Let's hit the text line at 960-960. Couple of conversations. This on Klapka says, Klapka's an upgrade over Hunt and Rooney. Don't count him out. And I'm definitely not counting him out. I don't know if I see a path for him on the opening night roster, but I think he's a guy that obviously will be front of mind if somebody goes down early in the season. If a right shot winger ends up being on the shelf, I think Klapka would be one of the first guys to go down.
Right.
To come up.
When you talk about those two guys in particular that he was compared to, like, Kevin Rooney is likely, certainly very likely, going to open the season as fourth line center. That's not a role Adam Klapka can fill. Dryden Hunt, if he makes this team, it's going to be his 13th forward because of the versatility he offers. Adam Klapka doesn't necessarily offer that same sort of versatility. But yeah, if you need a guy who can play the right side, who can maybe play that net front spot on the second power play unit, whatever that looks like, he is more than put himself in the conversation, right? He arrived in Calgary as a curiosity because of his size. And now he's a guy that is legitimately in the mix to help this hockey team.
Theo and Banff says, which defensive defenseman do you see making the NHL full-time first out of Yermo, Grushnikov, or Kuznetsov?
Well, first things first, I know the numbers might suggest this, but Joni Yermo is not a defensive defenseman. Joni Yermo is a guy they're actually trying to rein in a little bit. He skates really well. Like, picture Nikita Zadorov wanting to lug the puck through the middle of the ice. That's Joni Yermo, and I know the development team is already stressing picking his spots better. And so
he was all over the ice, good and bad,
yeah,
in the games he played.
I know you can look at his numbers from the Finnish league and think this must be a shutdown, stay-at-home guy. That's just, and I'm not trying to call anybody out. I just want to sort of dispel that myth that Yermo is in that same sort of bracket as a Kuznetsov and Grushnikov. Those are the other two, right?
Yep.
That Theo mentioned.
Yep.
Grushnikov, to me, and now we're jumping to conclusions 4 days into training camp. But everything that I've seen going back to young stars and moving forward suggests that Grushnikov is ahead, if not significantly ahead of Kuznetsov.
Yeah.
You?
Yeah, I agree. I think of those three, Grushnikov would be the guy that I think is closest to being in the NHL. And I know the Flames are also pretty high on him. I mean, again, they decided to go a second-round pick and Grushnikov for Tanev, and that's a big reason why they chose the Dallas deal, because they liked Grushnikov the way they did. And even though I know the initial reaction from, I don't know, the vast majority of Flames fans was, who? I know how much Craig Conroy and this pro scouting staff really likes Grushnikov, and so and that's why I continue to be really intrigued by the player. I liked what I saw from him in Penticton. I liked what I saw from him Sunday night in Seattle. So nice start to camp for him, and I'm with you. I think he would be defensive defenseman or not, he'd be right near the top of the queue in terms of knocking on the door if opportunity arose.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a guy, you know, if you're listening to this and thinking to yourself, I saw him at the end of last season with the Wranglers, and I wasn't impressed. I didn't see it because I had a night like that myself. I think he was playing through a fairly significant injury. I know he was getting scratched a bunch because he just wasn't healthy enough to kind of give them what they thought he was as a player, and I think we're seeing that now.
And this is, what did you guys think about Pelche? I thought he was fine. Mm-hmm. I thought that he did a lot of things that you'd want to see Pelche do, and I still think he's in line to be on the opening night roster, if not the opening night lineup, depending on how they decide to shape up their fourth line this year. His waiver status makes me to believe he'll be one of the 13 or 14 forwards on the roster to start the year.
Yeah, I sat and had a conversation about this in the in the cheap seats at Morning Skate yesterday, and one of the things I said was there's just a few teams that I can't see letting Jacob Pelche pass on the waiver wire. And so for my money, he has to start. I don't think at this stage of where the organization is at, it would make any sense.
Yep.
As long as he has a decent camp, I don't think it would make any sense to expose him to the waiver wire. To answer the question from the text line, you know, Matt Coronato was a guy last night who bolstered his case. I don't think Jacob Pelche hurt his case, but I wouldn't say it was bolstered either.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Pat and Wes, along with you, underway this hour on Flames Talk. We're here at the Hot Stove Lounge at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, and everything coming at you from back at our downtown studios, the Groundworks Downtown Studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
Anything and everything Calgary Flames, it's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, we've known for quite some time, pretty much since Jacob Markstrom was traded during the offseason, that Dan Vladar and Dustin Wolf were going to be part of the goaltending conversation for the Calgary Flames this year. But there was always that talk and there was always that need going into free agency for an organizational number three. And the organizational number three that the Flames went out to get is a guy that doesn't see himself as a number three, and a guy that I don't think the Flames necessarily see as a strict three either. That guy is Devin Cooley, who signed a two-year contract in free agency on July 1st. It's a two-way contract this year. It'll convert to a one-year contract next year, and the Flames are very, very excited about the potential that Devin Cooley brings to the organization. They think we're talking about a late bloomer who has a lot of untapped athletic potential. Suffice to say, the Flames are really excited to have Devin Cooley in the organization as well, which is why we keep talking about this as a three-headed race or a three-horse race with Wolf, who was great Sunday night in Seattle, Vladar, who will get his first preseason start on his new hip on Monday against Edmonton, and Devin Cooley, who will get his first preseason start on the road in Edmonton on this preseason split squad Monday. Over the weekend, Devin Cooley came into the Hot Stove Lounge, sat down for about 15 minutes, and I really enjoyed talking to him on Canada Day when he signed, and now that he's come to Calgary, and he and his girlfriend Natalie's bunny Tito has become a social media sensation. Well, there's just a lot to talk about with Devin Cooley. Listen to this conversation from over the weekend as Devin Cooley joined us here in the Hot Stove Lounge.
Devin, just how has the acclimation to Calgary been? Tell us about getting here and being here. I read the story about your rather harrowing journey to Calgary, but now that you're here, how's it felt for the last little while?
Yeah, it's been really good. All the guys have been awesome. The staff has been awesome. It's been a super welcoming environment. It's a really big family here, and I've been really enjoying myself. My girlfriend Natalie and I, we got our place. We're all settled in, you know, so it's really happy to be here.
What goes into kind of getting set and settled quickly? Like, what do you have to do as a pro athlete to be able to get your feet planted pretty quickly?
I think the biggest thing for me is just to, like, get a place, you know, like have a home base that you can be like, okay, this is going to be my home. You got a full kitchen, you can cook everything. So that way when you go home from the rink, you're really comfortable and you're really relaxing environment where you can just chill and relax a little bit. That's the biggest thing for me. And then just getting into a routine of things. So like knowing where everything is, knowing the name of the staff, knowing the name of the guys on the team, and being comfortable when you come to the rink to it. Those are the biggest things for me.
Did you find a place on your own, or did you have somebody that you knew here? I know a lot of guys will rent from other guys in the league. What about you?
Yeah, so we're renting from a player in Seattle system, Max LaJoy.
Okay.
My girlfriend found his girlfriend or wife, I'm not 100% sure, on a girlfriend and wives Facebook group for hockey players, you know, and my girlfriend reached out, was like, anyone renting a place in Calgary? And then got a message, and yeah, we're really happy with it.
Okay, so what do you think of the city so far? Have you been able to see much of it, or has it been mostly just rink and gym and home?
The city's awesome. It's really big, you know. There's a lot of things to do. My girlfriend and I, for her birthday, we went up to the Calgary Tower and had dinner up there.
Nice.
And, yeah, it's been a really awesome place. That the views are really good too. Like it's really cool.
So what is the settling into camp been like, and what's it been like on the ice? Like, how have you felt so far from a hockey perspective?
Oh, I know exactly how I felt. So the first day, I thought I was terrible. I was like, we had like one skate in like 4 or 5 days leading up to camp. We had the test beforehand. So I came in, I was just like a little bit fatigued. I wasn't tracking. I was thinking a whole bunch. I was like, every shot that was coming in, I was like, okay, stance, get square, you know, do this, do that. And then before I know it, the puck's in the back of the net. I'm like, dude, you got to just shut up sometimes. So then the second day was a little bit better. I was like, okay, shut the mind off a little bit, start to track a little bit more, start to read plays. And that went better, but still like wasn't up to my standards. I still don't think I was good enough. You know, I was still a little bit slow, still wasn't tracking 100%. But I was like moving well, like physically. But and then today it was like, okay, now bring everything together. Now I feel comfortable. And now I've gotten over the adjustment period. And today I thought I was awesome. I thought I felt really good. I was moving well. I was tracking well. I was competing well. I was happy with where my game is today. And so now I'm just going to keep building off that. And now I feel like I can start to play like myself. I can shut the mind off and I can just, you know, go with the flow of things.
Is that shutting the mind off? Is that something that you have always kind of had to deal with? Is that always been something that's been a part of your process?
Yeah, 100%. Because I'm a thinker and I'm like a logical thinker. So like, I'll tell you where it came from, honestly, because when I was growing up, I didn't really have any like goalie coaching. And so as I got to like college and I finally started having goalie coaching like consistently, before every shot, I started thinking of all the technical things that I was learning, you know, and it was like, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this. And then I would let a goal in and I'd be like, well, maybe that's not the right technical thing. And then I would change my stance or whatever. It's like even like my first year in the American League, it felt like I was changing parts of my game like almost every single day. And I had no idea like what my staples were. And so like the last like couple of years, it's really just been about like building the staples of my game. Be like, okay, where do I want my stance to be? Where do I want to be? How do I want to play this situation? And so that way, like when things are going bad, instead of panicking and being like, oh, I got to change everything. I got to learn more. I got to do this. It's more just like, okay, your tracking's a little bit off. Maybe you're a little bit tired. Maybe you haven't been skating a whole lot, but you're going to get there. It's just going to take a little bit of time. Like, just trust the process, stick to your staples, and it's going to work out. And that's really awesome because now instead of spiraling and panicking, be like, well, maybe I'm just not a good goalie. Maybe I'm really bad or whatever. It's more just like, okay, just relax a little bit. You're fine. You know, it's going to take a couple days. And that's exactly what has been happening with camp. I was talking to even like a couple guys, and I'm like, yeah. First day, I was like, yeah, I'm terrible. Second day was like, okay, it's a little bit better. I was like, dude, I bet tomorrow is going to be the best day. Easy. And then today felt like my best, and that there's still obviously room for improvement. I'm going to continue to get better as camp goes on, I think so.
That's awesome. It's funny because you grew up in Northern California, so not a ton of hockey down there and not a ton of goalie coaching, it sounds like. I think that's part of maybe why it has been a little bit of a slower burn for you and maybe a later entry into the NHL, just because it was kind of a non-traditional upbringing?
Yeah, oh, 100%. I talk to guys about that all the time. I feel like I've been trying to play catch-up my entire career, where it's like, okay, I got to the USHL off natural talent and ability alone. And then you start to play in the USHL and it's like, well, everybody has natural talent, but then they also have a technical game. So I went to the USHL right out of 18 AAA Junior Sharks. And I thought the USHL was like for like, oh, no, I'm never going to play there. That's only for like the good guys.
Yeah.
You know? And all of a sudden I was thrown in that league and I finished in last place in save percentage and goals against average. I was like, dude, I was so lost. I had no idea what I was doing. And thank God my goalie partner in the USHL was Joey Decord, and he was like, dude, you got to come to my dad's camp. Joey Decord is Seattle's goalie for anyone who doesn't know. And he's like, dude, you got to come to my dad's camp, stop at goaltending in Boston. And I was like, okay, sure. And at this point, I was already 18, 19 years old. And then so then I was like, okay, I started spending every single summer there with them, and they rebuilt my game from scratch. And then from there, it was just like, okay, continue to build, continue to build. Because I always had like the work ethic and the drive. I always wanted to do it. And I had the natural size and mobility and speed. And so I was super explosive. And so I would like watch like other goalies. And I was like, I could skate better than them. I'm quicker than they are. It's like, why? I didn't understand. I was like, how are they making more saves than me? I was like, it's just a matter of technical things. And that's what I thought. So then I started just really diving into the technical game. And that's what I've really been trying to focus on every single year and just continue to build off that. And now it's like, okay, I have a solid technical game, but now it's like, figure out what your staples are. And that way, like, again, what I just said, like, if things go bad, you could just revert back to that and you're going to be comfortable instead of panicking and switching everything up all the time.
Well, I remember talking to you on free agency day, and you were talking about that kind of like harnessing the natural talent and refining it a little bit. So how have you been working a lot on that with the goalie coaches here, like Jason and Mackenzie, or do you have your own processes that you know you need to focus on to make that happen?
Yeah, we've been working, but I think for camp and stuff, they're kind of like a little bit hands off, you know. They're more like, okay, here's one thing or here's two things that I want you to focus on, and they don't want to throw too much at me. But as soon as camp ends, like, we're going to sit down and we're going to be, okay, this is what we're going to work on. These are the biggest things. And I was in communication with everybody throughout the summer and be like, hey, here's a list of everything that I'm focusing on in the off season, and what do you guys think of this? And they're like, yeah, 100% do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. Like, we're on board with this. And then now that camp's starting, it's like, okay, just go play. Because I think the one thing with me is because I'm so, like, always wanting to learn more and always, like, focusing on the technical game, if you throw too much at me, my mind will start to run with it. And then I'll just forget to watch the puck. And then it's like, okay, I got to do this, this. And then all of a sudden the puck's in the back of the net. It's like, what am I doing, dude?
Right.
You got to shut up sometimes and just watch the puck, especially when it's like you're competing, you know, in an environment like this.
Yeah. We're chatting with Flames goaltender Devin Cooley, and I know, you know, one of the things that you saw here when you decided to sign was a really good opportunity and a chance to fight for NHL work. And now that you're here, what does that opportunity feel like? Before you saw it on the outside, but now that you're in camp, like Anthony Mantha talked yesterday about, hey, I feels like opportunity's present. Is that kind of how you're looking at it too?
Yeah, 100%. And this is, I would say, my first camp where it was like, hey, there's actually opportunity for you. I felt like all my other camps, like with National and Buffalo, it's like, yeah, there was opportunity, but it was like, you know, it didn't matter how good I played. I wasn't going to, like, you know, potentially get NHL time, you know, that year. It wasn't really open. You know, maybe something could have happened, but this year it feels like, okay, like maybe if I do really well, like I can actually, you know, I have a chance here. Conroy said, like, in the entrance meeting, like, to everybody, he's like, yeah, like, we got three goalies that are really hungry here, you know, they're going to be competing, you know, we're going to need good goaltending this year, blah, blah. And I was like, so fired up. I was getting goosebumps. I was like, hell yeah. You know, it's like, I can't wait to start. So it's exciting. It's really fun. Like, as an athlete, like, all you can want is just in a competitive environment, because that's what fuels you. And that's like, obviously we're all competitive people here. So it's just a blast going out there and just trying to do my best.
Now that you've had a little bit of time with Dustin, you're both kind of San Jose guys. Like, what's that been like getting to know him? I know you didn't really know each other because you're a few years apart. Now that you've been on the ice and in camp with him, so on and so forth, how's that been?
Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, both the goalies have been really cool. They've been really friendly and stuff. And that's one thing I try to strive for, like, on each team I play for, is like a really good partnership with my goalies and be really close. They're usually like some of my closest friends on the team. And maybe the other guys don't feel that way, but it's like people that I feel comfortable with talking to. It's because nobody understands what a goalie goes through besides another goalie.
Yep.
And so it's nice to have that, like, kind of outlet where you can vent and talk about things. And I think the closer you are with your goalie partner, the better it is for the team. And you can continue to push each other and help each other out. And help each other when you're down and blah, 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 and offer support. So, yeah, everyone's been super nice. I did my testing with Dustin Wolf, like, yep. We're in the same group, so we spent the whole testing day together, and it was fun hanging out with him. And obviously, I'm in Vladar's group, you know, during camp, so it's fun hanging out with him and talking with him. And, yeah, it's been great.
The when you and Dan are walking side by side, if you're not close up, you're like... Which one is which?
Yeah.
And then your pads are similar.
Yeah.
And so, like, once we get to morning skates and stuff, if your names aren't on the back of the jersey, like, we're going to really have to dial in on what pads are so we know who's in which net.
Yeah.
There's some similarities in your looks.
Well, funny story about that. When I ordered my Bauer gear, so as soon as I signed, I sent what I wanted my design to be with Bauer. And then they got back to me and they're like, hey, Vladar got the exact same design. He's like, he already ordered his pads. You know, do you really want to go with that? And I was like, oh, dang it, dude. It was like, he's got good taste, but I was like, all right, I'll change it around a little bit. But yeah, they're almost the exact same. So
yeah.
It's a good thing Bauer said something.
It's funny, Kevin Woodley, the goalie guy in Vancouver, was he comes on with us every week, and he's such a gear guy, and he's like, what is Cooley wearing? What is Vladar wearing this year? So now I have an update for him.
Yeah,
so that's
good. Absolutely. That's good. I mean, even like in Milwaukee, Askarov and I had the exact same pads.
Yeah?
We wrote like all navy, and so it was like kind of hard to tell us apart a little bit on the ice. It's funny.
Okay, I have to ask you about, before we let you go, I have to ask you about Tito. I heard you walking in. You're like, geez, people want to know about Tito more than they want to know about me. He's turned into a bit of a phenomenon for you and Natalie, right?
Yes.
You and your girlfriend. Like, Tito's turned into a social media star here.
Oh, yeah. It was so funny. Like, my girlfriend created a little Instagram page for him, and she was just going to do it for fun. And then when I made my NHL debut and I was, like, in the NHL, the NHL started posting him, and he's gotten posted twice for Easter. He's gotten posted for just like randomness. Like, it's just totally hilarious. And so that like blew up the Instagram account, and now everybody knows about him. And my girlfriend's having a lot of fun, like, running the page, and Tito loves all the attention, I'm sure.
he was the star, or one of the stars of the event a couple weekends ago too. I saw some of the pictures. Looked pretty good all dressed up.
Yep. We got a nice little tuxedo for him. He was very sharp. He was doing the steamer before and getting it all ready.
The event we're talking about, by the way, was the 1152 formal for Parachutes for Pets. And I know that as soon as Melissa at Parachutes saw Tito, she was like, I gotta get in contact with Devin Cooley. I gotta bring him in. I know you've done the podcast with them, so you've dove right in over there. Hey,
yeah, it's just such an awesome organization, and all the work that they're doing is pretty incredible. And both me and my girlfriend are super passionate about the work that they're doing, so we're really happy to come on board as ambassadors and help out, you know, any way we can.
That's awesome. And Tito, it's gonna a lot of Tito themed things.
Oh, absolutely.
I hear.
Yep.
Good. Okay. What does the rest of camp look like? You're 3 days in as we're talking right now. Like, how does it ramp up for a goalie in your camps in the past? How do things ramp up as we move into the preseason and closer to the start of the year?
Yes, I think for me now it's like, okay, the adjustment period and the rust period and figuring out how you want to play and blah, blah, like, that's over. And now it's like, okay, shut the mind off. Just go out and compete. We're going to get into preseason games here. And now it's go time. Now it's game time. And now it's just perform. And that's all that matters. So, yeah, just going to continue to build every single day and hopefully get better and better and get in a few couple preseason games here, hopefully, and just show what I can do.
Thanks for doing this. Really appreciate the time, hey?
Absolutely.
That was pretty cool. I got to tell you, when Devin walked in, that was Devin Cooley, Flames goaltender. I recorded that conversation here in the Hot Stove Lounge on Saturday, and when he walked in, he was putting on the headset. He said, "Oh, that's so cool! Put on a headset." He is a ball of energy with just the best attitude at all time. You talk to former goaltending coaches, you talk to Sigalette or LaBarbera or Skapski, who are working with him here with the Flames. All they do is rave about this guy's attitude, and so that's a nice addition to the organization. And I'll read you some text line quite like the conversation too. Like, he's an easy guy to root for and an easy guy to want good things to happen to. And now he's got himself a real opportunity here in Calgary with the Flames and Wranglers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think his path makes him, and even what we heard about the, you know, importance of relationships with your fellow goaltenders. And obviously there's competition there, but those are the guys who can relate to what you're going through. It was really important, I know, when the Flames went out and filled that third spot on the depth chart, that it wasn't going to be a guy who, you know, caused any internal rifts, you know, who let the competitiveness sort of get in the way of helping support the other guys that they have as well. And so, by all accounts, this is a really good fit there.
Yep. Read a few texts, 960-960. This says, why can't more of our fans be like Cooley, so upbeat and positive? That comes from Wedley. This from Andy in Lethbridge. Oh, my gosh, how can you not like Cooley? This says, if he doesn't make the team as a goalie, he should be the fourth-line center. This says, so nice to hear Cooley speak with passion about playing. Some guys sound like they're too cool to care, but this guy is a big kid who really wants to start. What else we got here at 960-960? This from Mike. Devin sounds so down to earth and a guy who continues to want to learn. Hope he makes the team. This says this guy's an incredible speaker. Dylan and Revelstoke says this kid's got an absolutely amazing attitude. I guess that kind of excitement and positivity could be infectious in whichever room he ends up in. Conroy did his research on the signings and trades. He keeps proving he's the right man for the job. He's really dialed. That comes from Dylan in Revelstoke. And by the way, the 1152 formal at Parachutes for Pets raising more than $85,000 a couple of weekends ago is the first ever event that they put on like that, hosted by Mackenzie Wieger and Michael Backlund, and then Devin Cooley came on after being signed. They'd already come up with the 1152 name before Cooley signed, but Mackenzie,
they didn't want to make it sound too much like a Wi-Fi password by throwing exactly. a few more jersey numbers on there.
1152, perfect.
Yeah.
Mackenzie, a lot of great work and a lot of money raised for Mackenzie's program, the Weegs and Wags program and Michael's program, Dexter and Lucy's legacy over at PFP at Parachutes for Pets, and then Devin Cooley's going 2 feet in, and Tito's gonna have his own little program over at Parachutes for Pets too. So more than $85,000 raised for their first event. That is bonkers, and you do not see money like that raised at galas, especially first-time galas. So good on the folks over at Parachutes for Pets as well. Thanks to Devin Cooley for doing that on Saturday. Glad you got to hear that, and I knew that people would really enjoy. Had nothing to do with me, all about him, but he was really, really engaging to talk to. Steinberg and West starting to wrap things up this hour on Flames Talk. And, of course, Cam, Shan, our outstanding producers this hour. You can get Flames Talk on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts.